Hey, I'm Dr. Michael Hunter, forensic pathologist from Autopsy, Reels Channel's medical mystery series on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts. Be sure to download the Podcast One app and subscribe. Then go to Reels.com, that's R-E-E-L-Z.com, to find more programs like this one on Reels Channel.
Bill Bixby is dead. The veteran actor and director died Sunday at his home outside of Los Angeles.
Bill Bixby was a legendary actor, director, and producer who had been charming audiences for three decades.
Bix would come in like a tornado blowing in. The door opened and boom, Bill would come into the room.
Full of energy. Oh, my God. He would wear you out.
Bill found fame with My Favorite Martian and the courtship of Eddie's father alongside Brandon Cruz.
He took that role on with such an amazing warmth.
Before cementing his stardom in The Incredible Hulk, but his celebrated performance hid heartache.
Between every scene, sometimes during the scene, you could see tears flowing down his face.
If Bill had been there, he might have been able to save his son, and he really, really believed that.
Despite his clean-cut image, there was another side to Bill Bixby.
Bill began to get into a little bit of cocaine, and I talked to him about it. You got to be careful here.
And he used his acting skills to mask the fact that he was suffering from a disease that was killing him.
If any human was going to beat it, my money would have been on Bill.
I'm going to live.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to take my life from me.
But on November 21st, 1993, the world was saddened by the news that Bill Bixby had died at the age of 59.
Bill Bixby was diagnosed with prostate cancer around 3 years before his death. Even at the time, this was a disease that killed a very small percentage diagnosed with it. So I want to know why a fit and healthy man died from such a treatable illness at the age of just 59.
Do you own or rent your own home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance, along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
World-renowned medical examiner and forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Hunter has performed around 5,000 autopsies. Collaborating closely with law enforcement and other forensic specialists, his pivotal role in investigating suspicious cases has revealed the truth behind mysterious deaths for over 20 years.
I've got access to Bill's death certificate, biographical information, and firsthand accounts that I'll use to examine his medical condition. I'll be looking for evidence which explains why Bill Bixby died so quickly from a treatable disease.
January 1991. Austin, Texas, 2 years and 10 months before Bill's death. Bill Bixby has been in the Hollywood spotlight for three decades
action.
As both an actor and prolific director.
Okay, guys, now what
today,
I want you to do
he's directing the CBS movie
really,
Another
really
Pair of Aces.
Kenneth Johnson, friend and executive producer on The Incredible Hulk.
He was a complete and consummate professional who knew all the aspects of the business. He knew what directors were up against. He had been an actor for a long time. And also, he'd been a star for a long time.
Bill has recently found love for a second time. A month ago, he married Canadian waitress Laura Jane Michael.
It was a real star-studded kind of event and a beautiful wedding, and when there were flowers everywhere, and she seemed like a lovely lady.
Although Bill's work and personal life are in great shape,
but
physically, he's not.
He was complaining about his back and joints.
Brandon Cruz. Friend and co-star.
He was in his 50s. He had some aches and pains. And, you know, he didn't lead a sedentary lifestyle. He was not incredibly overactive either.
But Bill didn't let the pain in his back and hip joints prevent him from doing his job.
Dolly Reed Martin, friend and actress.
He wanted to work and give it all. He was macho man. They don't like to admit that they're vulnerable.
Lower back and hip pain are not usually reasons to be alarmed, and the most common cause is a torn or pulled muscle or ligament, which would require straightforward treatment. And there is nothing else that jumps out as a sign that he is unwell. At 5 foot 10 inches tall and 157 pounds, Bill has a healthy BMI of 22.7. But I want to look further into it to make sure I'm not missing something important.
Bill Bixby was born Wilfred Bailey Everett Bixby III in San Francisco on January 22, 1934, to Jane and Bill Bixby. His mother was a department store manager, and his father was a store clerk.
Bill grew up in San Francisco. He had a kind of a very strict upbringing, and his mother was, she was a force.
She was very dictatorial, very much of a perfectionist, definitely the matriarch in the family.
When World War II broke out, Bill's father left to fight in the Navy. The family moved in with his Aunt Helen, so his mother didn't have to raise Bill on her own. His aunt, who once hoped to become an actress, nurtured Bill's dreams of becoming a performer.
John Schubert, Bill's cousin.
During that time, my mom became a very heavy influence upon him. They had conversations talking with my mom. Bix, you figure out what you want to do. Don't listen to anybody else. Go for it.
From an early age, Bill liked being the center of attention and would immerse himself in imaginary worlds, putting on pretend boxing matches and magic shows.
He started learning little magic tricks, simple stuff. He made his lightning and he made the sounds and everything, even at that young an age.
Bill's aspiration to be an actor never left him, and despite getting into Berkeley to study pre-law, he dropped out and headed for Hollywood to pursue his dream.
One time to me, he says, I'm going to give Hollywood about 5 years to find me. And it was discovered.
Somebody who thought that he could model. He was very fit, you know, this very handsome guy.
Bill found an agent who agreed to represent him, and in 1958 won his big break as the star of the CBS series My Favorite Martian.
My Favorite Martian made Bill famous. It was entertaining, it was lighthearted, you know, the Vietnam War was going on, and if you could watch this crazy guy with his flying saucer and turning invisible, it was good escapism from what was going on.
On top of establishing a successful career, Bill had built up a reputation as the most eligible bachelor in Hollywood.
Bill was a single guy, and his bachelor pad in Malibu was populated.
A few years later, he took on the role of a father to Eddie, played by child star Brandon Cruz.
At one point, we were the number one rated show on television. I think the audiences agreed that Bill was the guy they wanted to watch. He was beloved by millions.
And it wasn't long before Bill married his first wife, actress Brenda Benet, and became a father himself.
He'd been known as a television dad, and now he was one in real life.
Christopher was a mini version of him. Wonderful father.
Then, in 1977, he landed the role of Dr. David Banner in The Incredible Hulk, cementing his reputation as a world-famous star.
A startling metamorphosis occurs.
Based on Marvel's comic book hero, the Emmy-winning show was a huge hit, watched by millions.
Bix was terrific to work with. He was a great collaborator. He understood exactly what I was trying to do with the scripts that we had fashioned and with the character of Dr. Banner.
Lou Ferrigno, co-star, The Incredible Hulk.
I walked in. They told me how to get painted green. So I got into the makeup. It was like a quick process. I remember I was standing in front of the camera, and I kept looking at Bill. I said, oh, my God, this is Bill Bixby in person.
Bill's performance was much acclaimed, and across 5 seasons, he threw himself into the role.
He had to do all the stunt himself. We had a stunt double named Franco Stotti, but Bill did most of it because, you know, he gets thrown around getting beat up before he becomes the Hulk.
Looking at Bill's medical reports, I can see that in the 5 years Bill played the role of David Banner, he sustained several injuries, including broken fingers, broken ribs, and a damaged knee. Could his performance have been the cause of the lower back and hip pain he was experiencing 3 years before his death?
I think one time he twisted his knee. I think he had a cartilage removed. And it was tough because if he got injured badly, they'd have to shut down production.
Having no cartilage in his knee could have caused osteoarthritis, a degenerative condition that might have led to a walking impairment, putting a strain on Bill's hip joint. And I can see that Bill relied on a walking stick after his knee operation. More significantly, the damaged knee and hip, combined with the broken ribs, could result in a condition called polytrauma, where a patient receives multiple traumatic injuries, seriously endangering one or more vital functions. This condition can weaken the immune system, which in turn could allow cancer cells to develop in the areas of injury. However, there is nothing in Bill's medical information to suggest that his injuries resulted in serious organ damage. So, I have to rule this out as a contributory factor to his death. Symptoms of prostate cancer include pain or stiffness in the bones around the pelvis and lower back. Could a belief that his pain was caused by past injuries have masked the fact that he was showing warning signs of a more serious condition? An autopsy not only reveals how a person died, but how they lived. I'm Dr. Michael Hunter. If you like what you're hearing, check out more Dark Mysteries on your TV on Reels channel. There are shocking real life and death stories in World's Most Evil Killers, like the quiet neighbor nicknamed the Scorpion after he bludgeoned 9 women to death with a hammer, and Rodney Alcala, the serial murderer best known as the Dating Game Killer. Then check out the latest episodes of Autopsy that reveal what really killed screen and music legends like Walt Disney, Tom Petty, David Cassidy, and Batman's Adam West. You can find Reels on your TV at Reels.com. That's R-E-E-L-Z.com. Then check the top of the screen to find Reels in your area.
Bill Bixby, the much-loved star of The Incredible Hulk and acclaimed director, died at home at the age of just 59. Now, world-renowned forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Hunter is investigating the events that led to his death.
So far, I've discovered that Bill had sustained multiple injuries during filming for The Incredible Hulk, which could have caused further damage over time, concealing the symptoms of a more serious illness.
February 1991, Los Angeles, 2 years and 9 months before Bill's death. Bill visits his doctor for a routine checkup. He's sent for follow-up tests. And just 12 days after his wedding reception, the doctor delivers the devastating news. It's prostate cancer.
The phone rang one day and I heard what I always did. Kenny? Bix. I said, how are you? He said, okay. However, I do have prostate cancer. I said, oh, what? And he said, yeah. And I said, okay. How far along are you? He said, further along than I should be.
Prostate is a walnut-sized gland located between the bladder and the penis. It secretes fluid that nourishes and protects sperm. Prostate cancer is the most common cancer in men. It develops when cells in the prostate gland start to grow and divide uncontrollably to form masses of tissue called tumors. About 90% of cases occur in males over the age of 54. So Bill was at risk. It's also more prevalent in people with a family history of the disease, but I don't see any evidence of this in Bill's case. After genetics, one of the most common causes of cancer is smoking.
Bill smoked. Oh, yes. That's a given. He was a smoker.
Everybody back then was smoking. There were bowls with cigarettes, and everybody had one.
Tobacco is one of the leading causes of preventable death in the United States. Chemicals from cigarette smoke enter the bloodstream and damage DNA, including the genes that protect us from cancer. Studies have found that smoking may increase the risk of prostate cancer by affecting the levels of circulating steroid hormones, including testosterone, which is vital for normal prostate development. The risk of cancer recurrence only drops dramatically if a patient had quit over 10 years before. And I can see that Bill was still smoking at least 4 years before his diagnosis. But looking into accounts of Bill's life, it wasn't just his smoking habit that had a detrimental effect on his health. I can see that during the 70s and 80s, Bill experienced some seriously life-changing traumatic events that would lead him down a very dark path.
In 1979, after nearly a decade of marriage, Bill and his wife Brenda divorced and had to battle for custody of their 5-year-old son, Christopher.
It was very impactful on him as a human being.
Bill was such a great father, and sometimes Christopher would spend time in the motorhome watching me get made up. He was like a miniature Bill Bixby.
But it wasn't just the divorce that had a traumatic impact on Bill's life. When Christopher was 6, a skiing trip to Mammoth Lakes, California, with his mother Brenda, turned into a tragedy.
He had been skiing with his mother in Mammoth and was not feeling well.
Bill didn't want him to go.
A sore throat that Christopher had before the trip turned into a rare infection known as acute epiglottitis. And with Christopher struggling to breathe, doctors performed a tracheotomy. But he suddenly slipped into cardiac arrest and died less than 24 hours after arriving at the hospital.
It certainly not only stirred up the whole festering anger from the original divorce, but also loss of a child is the loss of a child. I mean, it's one of the things that you never, ever in your life get past.
But rather than taking time to deal with his grief, Bill threw himself back into work.
First thing I said was, Bix, we need to shut down the show so that you can take whatever time you need. And he said, no, Kenny, because he felt that by keeping busy, he was going to be in a much better place.
Between every scene, sometimes during the scene, you could see tears flowing down his face.
Dr. Linda Papadopoulos, psychologist.
Rushing grief by going back into normality very quickly, while it might seem like a great idea, what belies it sometimes is, again, avoidance. In Bill's case, he goes back to work within days. There wasn't enough time to do that important work of grief.
Some studies have shown that prolonged periods of suppressed grief may trigger the onset of cancer. When this emotional trauma is unresolved, the body system is in a constant state of stress, caused by the increased levels of the stress hormone cortisol. In short spurts, cortisol can boost immunity, but over time, immune cells become desensitized and white blood cells are reduced, making the body less able to fight it once it's developed. However, there is only limited scientific evidence that unresolved grief directly causes cancer. So I can't be sure that it had a direct impact on Bill's prostate cancer. But having no outlet to deal with grief can cause people to turn to risky habits, like heavy drinking and taking drugs, which may in turn lead to cancer. While burying his emotions in work, I can see that Bill resorted to another, more dangerous way of coping with his grief, cocaine.
I think he just did what made the pain go away. And, you know, cocaine's a hell of a drug. It can make stuff go away. It also makes things a lot worse.
I began to notice it. I'd see his face, and it would be just a little bit drawn and a little bit thinner than it should have been, and not quite as much color as there used to be. I talked to him about it and said, look, you gotta be careful here, because this is a slippery slope.
He begins to self-medicate. And I think for him, you know, at this point, it would have been a lot about trying to manage pain, to manage the fear of what else could go wrong, to escape reality.
Cocaine is a powerful, highly addictive stimulant that makes a person feel euphoric, energetic, and mentally alert, reducing the need for sleep. It can also lead to serious health problems, including heart attack, seizures, and stroke, damage to the kidneys, and serious infections. Cocaine use cannot directly cause prostate cancer, but it suppresses appetite. So prolonged use can cause nutritional deficiencies, which affect the body's ability to fight illness and increase the risk of developing cancer. But I can see that Bill only used cocaine when he was grieving the loss of his son and did not develop a long-term addiction. So I'm discounting it as a possible reason for his cancer.
Just a year after Christopher's death, Bill's ex-wife Brenda committed suicide at her L.A. home. And then, months later, The Incredible Hulk was canceled.
It certainly impacted on Bix. I mean, how could it not?
I went into a total relapse. Very heavy depression.
Stress and depression do not cause cancer, but they can have an impact on the progression of the disease. And I can see in the months before his death, he was dealt another devastating blow. Was it yet another personal tragedy that caused Bill to die so quickly from this very treatable form of cancer?
Bill Bixby, star of the hit Emmy Award-winning show The Incredible Hulk, died at home on November 21, 1993, with his new wife by his side. Leading forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Hunter is investigating his death.
So far, I have looked into the possible causes of his cancer. But could the reason for his early death be related to how he dealt with the cancer psychologically and physiologically post-diagnosis?
March 1991, Hollywood, California, 2 years and 8 months before Bill's death. As soon as Bill's diagnosis is confirmed, it's considered so advanced that he's booked in for surgery to have his prostate removed. With him at the hospital is his second wife, Laura Michaels, a Canadian waitress whom he had married 4 months earlier.
Bill had a radical prostatectomy to remove the whole prostate gland, the surrounding tissue, the lymph nodes, and the seminal vesicles which carry semen. It's major surgery, and Bill was under anesthetic for 6 hours.
But Bill's life-saving surgery took its toll on his personal life.
He did mention to me that it had its drawbacks. He couldn't enjoy the company of his wife any longer in that way. And he was really upset about that.
One of the most common side effects of this type of surgery is erectile dysfunction. This is because the nerves and blood vessels that control the physical aspects of an erection are very sensitive to trauma.
And more bad news was to follow.
I can see from reports that immediately after his surgery, doctors started Bill on a course of chemotherapy, which is used when cancer is spread or there's a risk that it will. Prostate cancer spreads or metastasizes when cancerous cells break away from a tumor and travel through the bloodstream or lymphatic system to other parts of the body, where they form new tumors. Chemotherapy circulates anti-cancer medication through the bloodstream to target the quick-dividing cancer cells. But chemotherapy also affects healthy body tissues where the cells are constantly dividing, such as the hair, bone marrow, and skin. I can see that Bill kept his hair throughout his chemo. This is because the type of chemotherapy agents used for prostate cancer tend not to affect the hair.
He didn't disclose an awful lot, but yeah, he did keep his hair. He was proud of his hair.
But despite not losing his hair, it's likely that Bill would have experienced some form of other debilitating side effects of chemotherapy, such as fatigue, nausea, and vomiting. But I can see from reports that Bill went back to work almost immediately.
In April 1992, Bill took a job directing the TV movie The Woman Who Loved Elvis.
He was again pouring himself into work and trying not to go there.
When cancer cells travel through the body, they need to be able to avoid attacks from the immune system in order to grow. So it would have been vital for Bill to protect his immunity, but Bill may not have been allowing his body enough time to recover before going back to work.
He himself identified work as a safe place. He called it his best friend. And I think that absolutely that would have helped him. But if it was to the detriment of taking care of his physical health, then it was too much of a good thing, perhaps.
Bill's latest project is completed on schedule, but the pain in Bill's hip has returned.
I can see from reports that a scan revealed that his cancer had spread to his hip bone and spine.
June 1992, Los Angeles, 17 months before Bill's death. Laura. Immediately after receiving the news that his cancer has spread, Laura. Bill is dealt another devastating blow.
It was the day that Laura had finally gotten her American citizenship. And so he said, I got a big bunch of red, white, and blue roses. When I got home, she wasn't there. Instead, just a note that said, thank you, I'm out of here, and the marriage is over. In so many words.
Struggling with the twin blows of his cancer progression and his second wife leaving him, Bill begins psychotherapy.
Despite the fact that he was a positive person, he didn't perhaps spend too much time thinking about things. And while this worked some of the time, it's clear that by this point it was taking his toll.
Following the death of his son, Brenda's suicide, and the loss of his job, Bill suppressed his grief, potentially resulting in chronic stress. But this time, he found a way to deal with his psychological distress, so I don't believe that it contributed to the progression of his cancer.
October 1992, Sunset Gower Studios, Los Angeles, 13 months before Bill's death. Once again, Bill immerses himself in his work and is hired to direct the NBC sitcom Blossom. At first, he hides his illness from the cast.
Bill was the type of person that would downplay his illness because he needed to be up for the cast to be up.
But Bill's spreading cancer was causing a visible decline. And at a Thanksgiving gathering, he finally tells the cast and crew about his illness.
By November of 1992, Bill had tried chemotherapy and radiotherapy, but both had failed to stop the spread of his cancer, and he now had no chance of making a full recovery. However, it's possible to live with prostate cancer for many years if its growth can be managed. And I can see that Bill's doctor suggested a brand new experimental treatment.
November 30th, 1992. University of California Medical Center, Los Angeles, 11 months before Bill's death. Bill has agreed to take part in an 8-week clinical trial for the drug Suramin.
Suramin was an experimental drug in the early stages of testing for prostate cancer and had displayed a promising but not yet proven ability to slow the spread of cancer. Suramin blocks cells from exposure to testosterone, which stimulates tumor growth.
Bix told me that there had been some new clinical trials that he had become involved in the hopes that it might be something that would help turn the corner for him.
This Suramin man was given to me by the second patient who went through the program at UCLA.
How is Suramin administered? How do you take it?
Well, fortunately, it's called a snap lock, but here's all the instrumentation.
Oh, my. See,
it goes into my body here. That's my blood, which is stopped by a clip here. And I have to clean this myself and give myself an injection every night that I don't go to the hospital just to clean the line. It's called heparin.
Yes.
And it cleans, it thins out the blood so that it won't, this line runs all the way to my heart.
Bill was one of the few people in the nation to be treated with Suramin. So he was taking a risk on a largely untested drug. This shows that Bill was willing to try anything to fight his cancer.
January 1993, Los Angeles, 10 months before Bill's death. Bill is talking to a new love interest, a recent widow named Judith Kleban. They had recently been introduced by friends.
He talked to Judith on the phone for hours.
But it wasn't all good news.
So far, Bill's cancer had not responded to any of the treatments he'd received. The metastatic cancer had spread to his liver, bones, and bladder, which will have made him feel incredibly weak.
It was a dodgy time for me, and there was a day that I thought I would be dead by the next morning.
But I've discovered that doctors started Bill on a new course of hormone deprivation therapy. This was a last attempt to prolong Bill's life. Prostate cancer oftentimes need testosterone to grow. Hormone deprivation therapy works by blocking testosterone, causing the cancer to shrink wherever it is in the body.
From being very despondent with regard to am I going to continue my life? Turned around. I turned into a tap dancer the next day. It was miraculous. Something is working.
This treatment is not a cure, but deprivation therapy can slow the progression of cancer for years. So why did Bill die so suddenly when he finally started responding to treatment?
World-renowned forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Hunter is scrutinizing Bill Bixby's medical records to uncover why he died prematurely from prostate cancer.
So far, I've discovered that surgery, chemotherapy, radiotherapy, and a clinical trial all failed to stop the spread of Bill's cancer to his liver, bladder, and bones. But after the doctors gave him hormone deprivation therapy, Bill began to feel hopeful about his cancer going into a reversal.
July 1993, Los Angeles, 4 months before Bill's death. Bill was feeling so much better that he began an exercise regime to build up his strength.
The way things were bad enough for Bill to accept that he had to change. He changed his diet. He had changed many things about, you know, his lifestyle.
I can see from accounts that Bill was consuming 3,000 calories a day. His weight increased from 138 pounds at its lowest to 152, just short of his normal weight. This is rare during progressive prostate cancer.
October 3rd, 1993, San Francisco, 7 weeks before Bill's death. Bill's feeling optimistic about his new hormone treatment, and just 8 months after meeting, he and Judith marry.
She gave Bill the quality life, not quantity, quality, and he was so grateful for that.
I understand that by October 1993, Bill's cancer had left his bladder. This is a sign his body is finally responding to treatment, which raises the question, why did Bill die just a month later?
October 1993, Sunset Gower Studios, Los Angeles, 1 month before Bill's death. Bill returns to his job directing Blossom and openly speaks to the press about the progress he's making.
I have a tendency to push the envelope. If I feel good that day, I go. And I think within 2 weeks, I'll be able to swing a golf club again. Badly, but I'll be swinging.
But to his colleagues, it's apparent that Bill is in terrible pain.
He was directing Blossom from a couch, racked with pain, because he couldn't walk, he couldn't stand.
Although the cancer had left Bill's bladder, the disease still remained in his bones and his liver. Bill was feeling more energetic for this brief period of time, but despite Bill's efforts to build up strength, he would still have suffered fatigue, weight loss, pain in his bones, and potentially urinary and bowel problems, fever, and confusion. Bill had tried all of the treatments available to him, chemotherapy, two experimental drugs, but his cancer was too advanced for a new treatment to add years to his life.
But despite his bleak prognosis, Bill clung to the belief that he could still beat the cancer.
2 weeks before he passed away, he called me and he said, "Hey, I want you to come by and have lunch." And when I saw him, it was a big difference. He was really, really gaunt. He'd lost a lot of weight. He was a little shaky. And to see the strong, vibrant guy that I knew in that state, telling me he was still going to beat it, that was tough. And I didn't know if it would be the last time I'd see him. But I made sure I gave him a big hug.
November 8th, 1993, Sunset Gower Studios, Los Angeles, 13 days before Bill's death. It's clear that Bill can no longer continue working, and his colleagues persuade him to go home and rest.
I heard that people talked to him and stepped in and said, you know, you don't need to keep doing this. He needed to keep doing it.
November 18th, 1993. Century City, Los Angeles. 3 days before Bill's death. After leaving the Blossom set, Bill is resting at home in his Century City apartment. His condition is monitored, and a nurse administers pain relief.
That last week that I talked to him before he died, I finally saw a little crack in the ice. I really felt that there were tears in his eyes, that he wasn't going to be able to continue to be living and with us.
November 21st, 1993, 1 hour before Bill's death. Judith fills the room with orchids, Bill's favorite flowers. In Bill's final hour, the couple reportedly argue over who loves who more.
He was on enough medication, I don't know how much pain he was in, but the mental pain that he probably felt, feeling that it was going to get him,
almost 2 weeks after leaving the set of Blossom, Bill Bixby finally loses his battle with prostate cancer. With his wife by his side, 59-year-old Bill slips into a coma and dies.
I was told that he passed in his sleep, which is comforting. I mean, at some point, you got to say, I did all I could, but I'd like to think he realized it was okay to give up. Knowing the Bill I knew, I don't think he got there.
My heart hit the floor. He was like a brother to me. I've got pictures of him all over the house. And the memories will keep me going.
Actor and TV director Bill Bixby died Sunday following a long battle with prostate cancer.
Looking at the course of Bill's cancer treatment, it seems that once he was diagnosed, he quickly followed doctor's orders. So I have to wonder, what caused Bill to die in under 3 years of his diagnosis? I've discovered that just 3 weeks before his death, Bill had developed a potentially life-threatening condition caused by chemotherapy. Could Bill's treatment have put his life in danger?
Bill Bixby is dead. The veteran actor and director died Sunday at his home outside of Los Angeles. It was announced today. Bixby was diagnosed with prostate cancer in 1991, and it spread.
The nation mourned the death of the legendary Hulk star Bill Bixby on November 21, 1993. The actor and director died of prostate cancer less than 3 years after his diagnosis. But mystery still surrounds the reason he died so quickly from a treatable form of cancer. Dr. Hunter believes a condition Bill had in the final weeks of his life could provide a clue.
I can see from reports that just 3 weeks before Bill's death, he suffered from shingles. This virus lies dormant in the spinal cord following childhood chickenpox. It is only reactivated when the body's immune system is weakened. The reactivated virus travels along nerve fibers to the areas of the skin around them, causing a painful skin rash on one side of the body. Bill's shingles was the result of the chemotherapy he was receiving, which reduces immunity by preventing bone marrow from producing white blood cells, which in turn makes the body more vulnerable to infection. In addition, Bill was working 12 to 14 hour days, which would further weaken his immunity, making it even harder to fight the infection. As a result, shingles could have been life-threatening. If left untreated, shingles can spread to internal organs, especially the lungs and central nervous system, including the brain, causing serious complications such as pneumonia, stroke, or meningitis.
But looking further into the evidence, Dr. Hunter is not convinced that this is what caused Bill's death.
Looking deeper into the medical information, I can see that Bill's shingles did not go undetected, and it's likely his doctors provided medication to help fight it. So I have to rule out shingles as a contributing factor to Bill's death. Bill religiously followed doctor's orders after his diagnosis and received high-quality medical care throughout his illness. So I want to look at his behavior before his diagnosis to see if that provides any clues to why he died so quickly. Bill's friend Dick Martin claimed to have nagged Bill to go to a urologist, and I believe Bill's decision not to go for a screening sooner was a fatal error.
It was 5 years that he was nagging him. We were at having dinner one night at the beach, talking about colonoscopies. Everyone over 50, they've got to have a colonoscopy. And Bill said, oh, I've never had a colonoscopy. And Dick went ballistic.
Finally, Bixie listened to him after so many times.
I believe what Bill's friends were referring to was a digital rectal exam to check the size of the prostate and feel for abnormalities. The option to be screened begins at the age of 40, and after 50, the chances of developing prostate cancer increases substantially. Bill was 57 at the time of his diagnosis, so he was well within the age bracket for recommended prostate screening.
I think Bill put it off for so long because he didn't think anything was going to happen to him.
Bill was kind of a hard-headed guy. Bill had dealt with and weathered so much tragedy and so much pain that he wore it rather well. I don't think he would have gone to the doctor, left to his own devices.
Early stage prostate cancer often has no signs or symptoms, so screening is often the only means of detection. Once the disease is more advanced, there can be warning signs such as frequent and difficult urination or discomfort when sitting. A greater knowledge of symptoms might have prompted Bill to get screened before his cancer spread. The first symptom that Bill had was the pain in his lower back and right hip. But it's possible that because of past injuries, he may not have considered it anything serious.
I was aware Bill was in pain before his cancer diagnosis, but I kind of chalked that up to some of the injuries that he'd gotten on The Incredible Hulk.
Hips, thighs, shoulders, or other bones only become a symptom once cancer has already spread outside the prostate. And once the disease has metastasized, it's incurable. I have a copy of Bill's death certificate, which reveals that he'd been suffering from metastatic prostate cancer for 32 months. So just 1 month after diagnosis, by the time Bill had his prostatectomy, it's possible that the cancer had already spread too far for treatment to save his life. In the early 90s, the means of detection were much less sensitive and advanced than they are today. And it's possible that the metastasis in Bill's hip wasn't picked up by initial tests or scans. It wasn't until April of 1992, when the pain in Bill's hip returned, that doctors confirmed his cancer had spread to his hip bone and spine.
I think Bixie was angry with himself that he didn't do it. He didn't listen to his body. I had prostate cancer, and it was because of Bix telling me face to face, you take that PSA test, probably saved my life.
A PSA test is a blood test that can help diagnose prostate problems, including prostate cancer. Early detection of prostate cancer massively increases survival rates. Unfortunately, by the time Bill was diagnosed, his cancer was very advanced. Bill's cancer had spread to his bones and liver. I can see that Bill went into a coma, and it's likely that this was a result of his liver failing. Cancer cells eventually take up the nutrients that healthy organs use until the organs can no longer function. The liver removes toxins from the blood and converts food into substances needed to live. A lack of a healthy liver disrupts the body's chemical balance, which can result in a coma and death. Bill fought hard to pursue his dream of becoming an actor, and he fought depression during a period of extreme trauma. When he was presented with the biggest battle of his life, he truly believed until the bitter end that he could win that one too.
I can't tell you how many thousands of letters I have gotten from people all over the world who have told me that Bill was their image of the ideal father, friend, compatriot, and that legacy speaks to the ages.
If we didn't have electricity, he could make it. That's how vibrant he was. Once you met Bill, you couldn't forget him.
The bond that Bill and I developed lasted until he passed, and it still carries on. I mean, my son's middle name is Bixby. So I've carried that tradition on of recognizing him and honoring him.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Autopsy. Don't forget to subscribe at podcastone.com with the Podcast One app or at Apple Podcasts. Then go to reels.com, that's reelz.com, for clips, extras, and more from the TV version of the series, including reenactments and autopsy photos you'll only see on Reels channel. Find Reels on your TV at reels.com. I'm Dr. Michael Hunter.
Hey, do you own or rent your own home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com.